שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר כתבי בעל הסולם. אנחנו נמצאים בעמוד 505.
Hello, we are learning in the writings of the book Shamati, page 20. The article is Divinity in Exile. You can watch the lesson at cab.tv and ask questions there as well. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. So again, Shamati, page 20, article number 2 in Shamati, Divinity in Exile. The Holy Zohar says, he is Shochen, dweller, and she is Shechina, divinity. We should interpret its words. It is known with regard to the upper light that they say that there is no change. As it is written, I, the Lord, change not. All the names and appellations are only with respect to the kelim, vessels, which is the will to receive, included in Malchut, the root of creation. From there, it hangs down to this world, to the creatures. All these discernments, beginning with Malchut, being the root of the creation of the worlds, through the creatures, is named Shechina. The general tikkun, correction, is that the upper light will shine in them in utter completeness. The light that shines in the kelim is named Shochen, dweller, and the kelim are generally named Shechina, divinity. In other words, the light dwells inside the Shechina. This means that the light is called Shochen because it dwells within the kelim. That is, the whole of the kelim are named Shechina. Before the light shines in them in utter completeness, we name that time a time of corrections. This means that we perform corrections so that the light will shine in them in completeness. Until then, that state is called divinity in exile. It means that there is still no perfection in the upper worlds. Below, in this world, there should be a state where the upper light is within the will to receive. This tikkun, correction, is deemed receiving in order to bestow. Meanwhile, the will to receive is filled with ignoble and foolish things that do not make a place where the glory of heaven can be revealed. This means that where the heart should be a tabernacle for the light of God, the heart becomes a place of waste and filth. In other words, ignobility captures the whole of the heart. This is called divinity in the dust. It means that it is lowered to the ground, and each and every one loathes matters of sanctity, and there is no desire whatsoever to raise it from the dust. Instead, they choose ignoble things, and this brings on the sorrow of the Shechina, when one does not make a place in the heart that will become a tabernacle for the light of God. Questions. Okay, ask. He writes here, all the names and appellations are only through the kelim, which is the will to receive included in Malchut. What is it about Malchut? What is in Malchut besides the will to receive? Is it of nothing? So why does it say included in Malchut, as if there's something else in Malchut? I'm telling you, there's nothing in Malchut besides will to receive. But in the will to receive, there's an ability to be under the influence of the upper light and discern all kinds of relations toward the upper light, meaning that Malchut itself is impressed by the previous prinot, discernments, that built it, Shorosh Aleph Bet Gimel, root 1, 2, 3, 4. These discernments are imprinted in Bchinat Dalet. Malchut is impressed by them and can therefore feel these Bchinot, these discernments of root 1, 2, 3, 4 in her, in the will to receive. And from this, it reacts to them. Its reaction is a result created in Bchinat Dalet in her. Okay? Okay. More? Nothing. So, let's read it again. So, there's two things, the dweller and the Shekhinah. Two things there are in reality. We should interpret the words of the Zohar. It is known that with regard to the upper light, they say that there is no change. As it is written, I, the Lord, change not. Meaning the relation of the Creator toward the creatures is one, and there are no changes in it whatsoever. Only absolute love. And the purpose is to bring the creatures into this, out of this absolute love, to the best possible development, which this love mandates. How? By a way called Havaya. I, the Lord, change not. That is relation, the relation of the light, the Creator, to the creatures, and that doesn't change. Whatever happens, I, the Lord, change not. Meaning maybe the creatures might feel all kinds of changes in their Creator's relation toward them, but from the perspective of the Creator, there are no changes. And things that the creature feels as bad or good, under whatever circumstances, it is only love. And if the creature wants to be in the right connection with the Creator, he must, in any circumstances, reveal only love, because this is really what there is. All the names and appellations are only with respect to the kelim, vessels, which is the will to receive, kli, included in malchut, the root of creation, and everything that we feel in the will to receive. So, to the extent that the will to receive can decipher the relation of the light towards it, to that extent we grade this will to receive as closer or farther from the Creator. From there it hangs down, this will to receive, to this world, meaning it is materialized. It becomes more and more opposite from the Creator on one hand, more receiving. On the other hand, it becomes more independent. Not annulled in the light, but becomes more and more standing in its own right. All these discernments, beginning with Malchut, being the root of the creation of the worlds through the creatures, are named Shekhinah. Meaning everything that happens in Malchut, the whole structure of Malchut is called Shekhinah. The general tikkun, correction, of the Shekhinah is that the upper light will shine in them in utter completeness. So although it's the will to receive and it's opposite from the Creator, it has to acquire such a form that the upper light will be able to fill it according to the law of equivalence of form. And how can the will to receive be in equivalence of form with the will to bestow? They're opposite, plus and minus. The light that shines in the kelim is named Shochen. The light that shines is named Shochen, dweller. And the kelim are generally called Shekhinah, receiving the light that shines in them. In other words, the light dwells inside the Shekhinah. This means that the light is called Shochen because it dwells within the kelim, meaning that the whole of the kelim are named Shekhinah. Before the light shines in them in utter completeness, inside all of these kelim, all the way to the depth, to the very bottom, that the kli can absorb it and feel it and digest it. We name that time a time of corrections.
I know.
This means that we make corrections so that the light will shine in them in completeness. We do it. Until then, that state is called divinity in exile. Meaning these kelim that are uncorrected are called the Shekhinah, divinity in exile. It means that there is still no perfection in the upper worlds. Below, in this world, there should be not a good situation. There should be a state where the upper light is within the will to receive. Even in this world, in the will to receive, which is called this world, this tikkun is deemed receiving in order to bestow. So in the will to receive, which is called this world, it's not our world, it's a state in the general kli. So in the will to receive, there has to be a correction in order to bestow, of receiving in order to bestow. Whereas in the worlds above our world, meaning what the will to receive is not really will to receive, but discernments prior to the will to receive, there, of course, all the kelim are operating in bestowing in order to bestow. And only where the big will to receive is, where man is, man's will to receive, operating in the worlds, like Adam HaRishon in the upper worlds. So all the worlds have only vessels of bestowal. Only light of chasadim. But in our world, which is the will to receive, which is called man, it should receive in order to bestow, and thereby resemble the Creator. Meanwhile, the will to receive is filled with ignoble and foolish things that do not make a place where the glory of heaven can be revealed. Meaning to justify the Creator who created the will to receive in a way that it can be at the level of the Creator Himself. This means that where the heart should be a tabernacle for the light of God, light, desire is called heart, to be a tabernacle for the light of God, the heart becomes a place of waste and filth. It wants to receive all the pleasures for itself and not in order to bestow. In other words, ignobility captures the whole of the heart. This is called divinity in the dust. So you have divinity in exile and divinity in the dust. If it's just in exile, detached from the Creator, it's in exile. If it's also filled with all kinds of pleasures of separation, it's called in the dust. It means that it is lowered to the ground, and each and every one loathes matters of sanctity, and there is no desire whatsoever to raise it from the dust. Instead, they choose ignoble things, and this brings on the sorrow of the Shekhinah, when one does not make a place in the heart that will become a tabernacle for the light of God. So from the perspective of the Shekhinah, there's sorrow that the creatures are filling it with all kinds of receptions in order to receive, opposite from the Creator. How do we come to feel the sorrow of the Shekhinah, of divinity, and not our own sorrow, that we want to grab and satisfy ourselves with all kinds of matters of reception? How do we discover that in these kelim called Shekhinah, there's sorrow, there's a desire to receive in order to bestow, but no ability, because we don't want this? This is what we have to discover. The sorrow of the Shekhinah is something very special. On one hand, I discover myself, and I want to enjoy myself, and I don't care about anything else, right, Gershon? That each day in the morning you tell yourself, today the whole day. I'll be connected to this. None else besides him is good and does good to the group, to the friends. Right, Chayal, David? That's the way it works. Great. That's in the morning. But during the day, it's not going to work. This isn't working. I need to do this. I need to do that. Even in your consciousness, when you're not detached and forgot about it, but you know you're working in the opposite way, but you're still doing it. So you wanted to reveal the Shekhinah in its corrected form. This is called divinity in exile. But then, when during the day you're going to fill it up with all kinds of nonsense, this is the divinity in the dust. Okay? Yes?
It's unclear from where the created being has any possibility to approach the correction. You are already in a given state where you enjoy, I don't know what, the smallest nonsense, more than to even begin to think about the friends.
Yes, and?
So it's not clear. It's not clear where do you even start approaching, lifting divinity from the dust.
We are in a world, meaning in a state, that is very special. If I put an alarm clock, if I set the alarm, it's a machine. It wakes me up. And I set the alarm while I was under kind of some kind of inspiration, impression, like now. I'm really impressed and I'm excited. So now I can set my alarm. And then, when I'm like a beast, it wakes me up. When I am excited and moved, I work on the group and I ask the friends, I'm asking you, please think about me. Don't leave me. Then, when I am placed on the ground, they come up to me and lift me up. These and many other actions we can do precisely because we're in a special state called this world, which was created for this purpose. That's it. One who doesn't do it loses this life cycle. Okay? Yes.
A student from Japan is asking, after the end of correction, Gemar Tikkun, when the kli is filled with light and there's no more room for corrections, won't the created being becomes lazy and motionless?
No. The end of correction is not the end of the work. The end of correction is when we get to Ein Sof, to infinity, and there the real work begins. And all the corrections we're doing now is only the correction of our kelim, the vessels, so as to then really use them correctly in an unlimited, unbounded way. Yes.
A question from a student in Ashkelon. What is the concept of dust, and is that the place of exile?
No. I want to finish first. What we think about the end of correction in the world of Ein Sof, that it's rest for the worlds, for everything. Rest means that I'm unbounded in my ability to bestow. This is called rest. Because then I can really perform, I can really work with all the power of the Creator. And there is no boundary for the progress, for the advancement. We don't understand these things that will happen. But for now, we should understand it in this way.
So he's asking a student from Ashkelon, what is the concept of dust, and is that the place of exile?
Dust is that malchut that we can't use. No life can emerge from it, like dust. Yes, it's burnt. Dust is when through the power of the light that worked in it, it burnt its connection with a desire, and the desire is without sparks of light. It's like ashes. This is called dust. But there's a correction for this as well. Yes?
If divinity is actually discernments of the will to receive, this is what he said there, how can it be that there is such a thing called sorrow even?
Because you're sorry that you're still not satisfied, filling up all your will to receive in order to bestow. In such a case, the kelim that are revealed, what is revealed to them is sorrow.
Who feels sorrow?
I do. I. I am the Shekhinah. Who else? What? There's a creator and there's a creature and there's a Shekhinah. The will to receive of the creature is called the Shekhinah. More. Yes, Doc.
And he writes that in the meantime, the will to receive is filled up with ignoble and foolish things.
Yes.
The will to receive this heart, it's the heart of the ten, right?
Well, you could put it this way. Perhaps you're dealing with nonsense.
What are the these ignoble and foolish things that distance us from the Creator? What exactly stands in our way?
You're thinking about all kinds of things that don't belong to eternity, to infinity, to the Creator. There aren't many dealings to do. You're either directed toward the Creator or toward the will to receive. Period.
When will we be able to distinguish, to discern with what to not to agree with, what not to do, what truly distances us, separates us from...
Exert only in connection and in turning to the Creator. There is no other worthwhile operation through connection to the Creator. Okay? Yes.
Why the sorrow of divinity is not joy about all the wickeds that are revealed and the process that is unfolding?
What do you mean? The sorrow of divinity is the best thing. It's when I find sorrow, when I have sorrow at not being able to work in order to bestow. Out of this sorrow, I turn to the Creator. I have this outcry, man, and then I get the power. The sorrow of divinity is something very important, very great, very high.
This word, sorrow, seemingly is associated with feeling sad. Why is it not...
Sorrow comes from the word tzarot. It's narrowness, it's lack of chasadim, it's a lack of the ability to bestow. Okay, so we're reading from Rabash, volume 3, in the matter concerning the exile.
Reading from Rabash, volume 3, the matter of exile, article number 71. There is no English text for it. Again, Rabash, third volume, article 71, the matter of exile. When Israel went to exile, divinity was with them. This means that if a person comes to a descent, then spirituality to him is also is in the state of descent. And according to the rule that a mitzvah induces a mitzvah, why does one come to a descent? An answer. From above, he is given a descent in order for him to feel that he is in exile and in order for him to ask for mercy, that he will be brought out of exile, which is called redemption. And redemption cannot be unless there is exile there first. And what is exile? It is that he is placed under the dominion of self-love and he cannot work for the sake of heaven. And when is self-love called exile? It is only at a time that he wishes to come out of this dominion because he suffers by not being able to do anything for the sake of heaven. It follows that when he started work, surely there had to be some pleasure and some reward for which the body agreed with this work. And later on, when it was given to see that there is the matter of for the sake of heaven, because a mitzvah induces a mitzvah, and he had to ask to be taken out of the exile, then he runs from the exile. And how does he run away from the exile?
In other words, each one smacks his neighbors several times. Why aren't you doing this in Moscow? Come on. Everyone smacks everyone else.
Leitorer.
Wake up.
Shuv.
Again.
What did
you read the last sentence?
When he was given to see that there is a matter of for the sake of heaven,
then a person weakens. We come here to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. I'm ready. I'm gonna tear up the heaven. Everything's in front of me. Why are you laughing, Shai? You were a hero. It's not a, you don't swim in your stinking pool. Here we come to a state where I suddenly feel it's not interesting. It's not appealing. I was interested in this. It was interesting, and all of a sudden, nothing. Right? What do? You don't do anything. What can I do? I have no desire. In life, we go through all kinds of states in this way. The same goes for the wisdom of Kabbalah. I came, I took interest, I felt it was nice, it was interesting, it was good, and that's it. Someone just puts the brakes on me, and that's it. I'm willing to leave. Meaning what? This is the place where we begin to add on our part, where the Creator has stopped promoting us and we have to continue advancing by ourselves. Not by ourselves, of course, but 1%, then 2%, 3%. But not 100%. And gradually we feel this way. It's getting harder and harder and harder. A place where we're given labor. With what can we fill up this place? Only with society. Only with society. So pay attention. It's bad, we're tired, whatever. Run to the society. Run to the society only. And then what does he say?
And how does one run away from the exile? By saying that he will not succeed in this work. If so, what does he do? He commits suicide. Meaning he leaves the work and goes back to his corporeal life, which is the state of the wicked in their lives, are considered dead.
He does what his ego tells him until he dies, and that's it.
It follows that in that place where he had to ask for redemption for the exile, instead he runs away from the exile.
This is why in our society we need to put this like bumper sticker, but just this sign, everything that a that every state that a person has, he has to bring to the group, and the group has to help, and that way he helps the group helps him, and this is how we advance. If he has no desire for spirituality, if it's taken away gradually, the group has to complement.
Repeating the last sentence, it follows that in this place where he had to ask for redemption from the exile, instead he runs away from the exile and he commits suicide. This is as it says, for the ways of the Lord are straight, the righteous shall walk in them, and the wicked shall fail in them. Rather, one has to go above reason.
When I have no desire, no craving, no appeal, nothing, but I know that if I have no desire, no craving, and no appeal, then I'm included in society. I mingle with them and I'll get it from there. It's not simple. It takes many scrutinies. Against my will, I have no energy for this. We're not used to this in life, because in our lives, everything is built on having the desire, on obtaining the desire. If not from here, then from there. I have no choice. Life forces you. Family, society, whatever. They pressure me. My pride, self-respect, etc. Here, nothing works, except my integration in society even before I receive. This is what we also have to see. When does a person leave?
So
when he's in society, so it begins to work on him, and then he gets the support.
And the descent in spirituality doesn't mean that now he doesn't have faith. Rather, now he has to invest a greater work. And the earlier faith he had is considered as a descent with respect to that work.
So even if he was giving already, which is called faith, bestowal is called faith, now it's not enough. He doesn't have a choice but to add in this. Yes? Questions? Yes.
Rav said a minute ago, when does a person leave? And then,
when he has no support, he gets a difficulty in order to advance above the difficulty. It's called faith above reason, bestowal above reception, right? He can't. From where does he get it? Only from the environment. Through the environment, well, from the light, but through the environment. And this is why he has to be stitched to the society. Yes.
What prevents us from asking from the society? What is this inner barrier we have?
We're not used to it. We have to get into the society and get used to receiving and giving, just like in an elite unit, where everyone understands that only in this way do you achieve the goal. Okay? Yes.
Reaching a request, in order to reach a request, we have to feel the exile, or through the society it's possible to...
Of course. How will you ask without feeling exile?
Through the society, can we kind of spare it, save it?
No. No. But it's enough to feel a little bit of it and wake up immediately. It depends on the connection with the society. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. How to ask correctly from the society at a time of a descent?
How to ask from the society correctly during the descent? You just fall on them, ask, go below them, you even tell them, you do what they want. It depends on the decline, to what extent the person can be active in this. But there are states where a person is just lying like a log and can't move. So then society has to wake you up. So it's all about the connection with society. There's nowhere else to receive the light from the Creator, but only through society. And the Creator deliberately filled you up with light, brought you to the right place, said, take this, and now that you have to connect, when you connect, He takes it out from you. If you don't connect, He still takes it out from you, the awakening. But gradually, more gently, you advance in a different at a different pace, so you would connect to the society. If it doesn't work out, then by moving away from you and you don't connect to the society, then you leave. A person is here according to his will. So we have to be connected to the society and know that only through it, the light that came out of us, we have to draw it back in through the society, and that then it will be a different light. It'll be a spiritual light. Yes. Well, Asaf.
If possible to ask about these changes, the ups and downs from the angle of the ten. I'll give an example. In the first part of the lesson, we had this example when Hanoch got up and he talked about his impression from the workshop. I very much identified with it. I was translating and it seemed like the whole study hall was like cells in a human, in a living body. There was this reciprocity. Then when Rami expressed whatever he expressed, I felt that it was true. This is how he felt it. Let's say that it happens in the same ten. So we need this and that. How do we reach this completion?
Of course it's all natural. So what?
But how do we reach this mutual complementation? Let's say Rami and I are in the same ten. I feel like Hanoch. We have Hanoch and Rami in the same ten. How now do we reach this mutual completion and we gain from this state as well as from that state? What is the practice here? So that not each one is pulling to his... You understand the question?
I understand the question, and the answer is simple. Where is the Creator that's connecting us? Only through the upper force that there's none else besides Him, who has given us all of our individual states, where precisely by connecting them, we reveal the Shekhinah in all of its characteristics, tones and colors.
It's still unclear how do we practically do this, that each one comes out of his own fuel and...
There should be one intention on top of all the states in the ascents and descents. One aim. Yes?
How do we bring fuel to advance, which comes out of the ten, which is on top of the personal states that each one experiences? You say that a person, on the way, they take away from him his individual motivation, his fuel, and he has to take it more and more from the group.
Yes.
How do we do it? How do
In at the center, the connection between us, at the center, there's the... Where the that's where the Creator is. It's a bottomless pit there.
But we need to learn how to work there. How do we yank? How do we draw from there?
You take the stony heart that's blocking the well and remove it, and then you'll be able to water your camels.
This means that the blockage is only in me. It is only inside the individual?
Of course.
So, if a person doesn't get forces from the ten, he nevertheless has to work on himself. Here, there's no matter of reciprocity. The ten is always giving. It is a source that is always there.
Correct. We still don't see and feel all these things. The whole Torah is around this. All of the stories there. Yes.
In continuation to Asaf's question, You talked about it, Kalilut, integration into society, incorporation, and Rabash was writing about going above reason. I wanted to ask about what is the relation between the two. Is it possible that I will integrate in the society enough times that...
Everything they write in all the articles is only... integration, mingling in society. The act and the intention to attain the Creator by this as the intention.
Yes, but what I mean is, well, wait a minute. You didn't answer me about walking above reason.
Of course. How else are you integrated in society?
What I think, and I want to know if it's true, is that I can integrate in the society less and less the more I go more and more above reason.
You will have more and more questions, yes. But you will still be included more deeply into society, and accordingly you will reveal the Creator as the glue connecting everyone out of oppositeness between everyone, hatred and love. He is revealed. What does it mean, love covers all crimes? This is the revelation of the Creator. Love is revealed out of crimes. That's it. Yes?
What I meant is something a little bit different. I'm not sure you understood me.
Go ahead, just talk.
Let's say that I integrate in the society. I integrate in the 10.
Yes.
I do it because I'm in a descent and I want to rise to go higher.
Yes.
Let's say that I perform this action many times, this integration.
Yes.
Do I find some connection between this integration and going above reason, which is actually the same? However, when I acquire it from experience in integrating in the society...
What's the question? I don't get it.
Is it correct?
Everything comes to you through Hitkalelut, through the mingling. The Kli is Hitkalelut. Discernments, Hitkalelut of discernments, connection of discernments.
Okay, so can I use this Kli less and less the more I have the practice?
Why less? What are you going to use then? You need this hive. Because every sphira divides into another 10 sphirot and another 10, another 10, another 10. The more they are divided, these sphirot, and more connected and complicated and connected and divide again, you have the system of scrutiny, of connection, analysis, synthesis. Everything comes from here.
Well, I need to think about it more.
Think. Yes, last one.
I want to continue the friend's question. You say that Hitkalilut, integration and going above reason, is pretty much the same.
Increasing Hitkalilut above reason is a spiritual advancement.
But a person is a social creature. His integration, mixing comes from nature.
I didn't see this. Who wants to mingle with another? What kind of Hitkalilut are we talking about? What kind of mingling? We're talking about above reason. When I give to him, when I love him, we're not talking about mingling where a few thugs go and beat up someone.
Well, we're not going to beat someone, but a person, well, the rejection from society is the rejection we feel towards the Creator. It's rejecting his own fate. If he rejects the society, but to the same extent that he feels this rejection, he also has attraction. In the end, everybody needs people. A person cannot be by himself. Is this also called above reason?
Why do I need them? I don't need them for my personal life. And also, I don't feel like I need them for the spiritual life as well. They give me a hard time, problems along the way. I don't see that I need them. I see that I hate them. I want to burn them.
Yes, but this is something that passes. It's not from that from morning to evening you want to burn people.
I do. You just wait. It's all in front of you still. And with this, so, in short, we are in exile, right? Coming out of exile means to feel that exile is lack of connection between us, lack of connection, lack of love, even, and coming out of it is building the right connection.
The daily task from Tbilisi. Every friend suggests to his 10 practical actions and the particular order that we have to do them in order to build our first spiritual partsuf. Again, every friend suggests to his 10 which spiritual actions and in which order we have to do them in order to build our first spiritual partsuf. L'chaim. Two announcements before we finish. The time of Kabbalah broadcast live. Viewers of the Kabbalah channel, you're invited to watch today at 6 p.m. the program Time of Kabbalah, big broadcast live on Rav Leitzman Facebook page. Today we'll talk about children's education, about actual matters, and we'll answer all questions. Thank you to the TV viewers and have a great day. Who is pulling the strings? The Kabbalah Lam campus is happy to invite you to introductory lectures about the wisdom of Kabbalah. Those courses take place in the different branches of the campus all over Israel. Entrance is free. You can find details on the Kabbalah Lam website or on the phone number. With this, we conclude. Thank you and have a great day.